All right, everybody, welcome back to Tech Gumbo. I am Haggai Davis III, co-hosting with Haggai Davis II, and we would like to welcome you to our show. Tech Gumbo is a conversation about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. But before we begin, we want to thank Cardinal Capital because they connect businesses to capital. Doesn't matter what business you're in, Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the United States that are willing to help fund your organization, no matter its size, life cycle, category, or location. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package you need to achieve your business goals. Whether you're looking to refinance current debt to take advantage of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or you're trying to finance new equipment, maybe you're trying to expand your existing business or acquire another one, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. Banks seek out Cardinal Capital to help them with loans they cannot do. The Cardinal Capital guys are fun to work with and easy to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net and they'll be happy to help you with your commercial finance needs. So, jumping into this week, we want to talk about cybersecurity and the FBI. What have they been up to and all everything that's been happening recently?
The head of the FBI has come out and he's basically almost compared it's the ransomware threat is almost like 9/11. It's a terrorist attack.
Yeah, that's really the lens through which you have to start viewing these things. It's maybe not on the same scale as 9/11, maybe not as visible as 9/11, but these are outside actors who are part of a foreign nation who wants to do harm to America, who is making use of tools to, make the lives worse of everyday people. And that's
And
what's happening here.
when you go back and look at even the SolarWinds thing, when you have a nation state acting out against another nation state doing this with cyber, that's terrorism.
Yeah, it's cyber terrorism. They are out there. They do not like the US and they are trying to impose their will upon us. And it's important that we view it to this level and start to escalate our response, that we are taking the steps to defend ourselves, because whenever you have things like the Colonial Pipeline that went down a few weeks ago, and more recently, there was one of the US largest beef plants that was shut down, JBS Beef.
When you have somebody who provides that much food to North America, because this is not just the US, I mean they provide beef and to Canada, and then they ship it around the world as well, and you shut down that big facility, that's the equivalent of shutting down the Colonial Pipeline to a third of the country.
Yeah,
That's a terrorist attack.
it was almost a quarter of the total US beef production. That's an incredible disruption to people's lives. And, you're starting to see this in a whole bunch of different sectors. And so you're really seeing that the FBI says, okay, this is something we need to start taking seriously. Then the government is saying, we are going to start creating new departments and creating new divisions. Because we have to respond to this. We can't just continue to be a sitting duck. We need to, advance our defenses and advance our offenses as well.
We talked about it last week's show about the different department levels, and until we come up with a unified message, a unified plan, this, well, I'm going to do it my way, you do it your way, is still going to be haphazard at best. And you're going to have companies like JBS get taken down. And when you have 25% of the food, of the beef delivered to the United States, go offline, even for a few days. They're back online. They did not stay shut down for an extended period of time the way the Colonial Pipeline did. It's still a major problem.
And so, one of the things that the US government is doing in response is they created a task force back at the end of April whose job it is to go and begin to retrieve some of the cryptocurrency that was paid for ransomware. So one of the things they were able to do is that whenever the Colonial Pipeline paid the ransomware hackers, the FBI actually was able to retrieve most of that money back in a really interesting and new development here.
That's right. So the Colonial Pipeline paid out $2.4 million in ransom, but the FBI was able to get $2.3 million of it back through the Bitcoins. And no, they did not hack into Bitcoin. What they did was they found the wallet, the Bitcoin wallet that the Dark Side, which was the name of the hacking organization based in Eastern Europe, most probably Russia, but we don't know for certain. They found the wallet, and they had the keys to get into the wallet, basically. And the idiots didn't move it from one account to another. They left the money sitting there in that wallet. Oh, we're untouchable. Until they weren't.
Right. And so the Dark Side exists as this, you know, ransomware as a service style, you know, evil organization. And the FBI was able to track it that the money went to Dark Side. And then they were able to compel Dark Side to hand over their set of keys to unlock the wallet. And that's why the FBI was able to get this money back. You know, Bitcoin is still encrypted. It is still virtually unbreakable. But if you can know the person on the other side and say, hey, person, you have to give me your key, now all of a sudden you can get in. And so that's really, this is the first major win for that task force. And that's part of what the FBI's goal is here, is that if they can make ransomware less profitable, if they can start shutting down a lot of these major organizations who are organizing all of this, now you put a dent in this volume.
Yeah, the Biden administration is going after the cryptocurrency in general and saying, look, we've got to stop allowing cryptocurrency to be a ransomware enabler. We've got to do something that we can't just give these people free rein to wreak havoc and terror on businesses around the world. This is not just a U.S. problem, obviously. If we put enough pressure on these companies that are doing these Bitcoins, maybe they will kind of snap back in line, not allow the Dark Side and the other ransomware organizations to be quite so pervasive.
And if you're going to implement, you know, restrictions, implement rules about cryptocurrencies, because you're looking at multinational corporations, you're looking at international, you know, internet traffic, this really is going to take a coordinated effort amongst a lot of different countries. Much like how we saw recently, a lot of the countries in the G7 get together to talk about new taxes that they're going to place on tech giants. You're going to have to see, you know, the world's top countries come together to organize something that they are already collectively agree, this is how we're going to handle cryptocurrencies, because the U.S. can't do it alone. We have to be working together, because that's how you actually start to stamp this out. Because even if it's not profitable in America, if it's still profitable in Britain, it's still profitable in South Korea, they're going to keep doing it, and America is going to be hit as a collateral. And so it needs to be a global effort to stop these problems.
Alex Stamos, who's the former Facebook chief security officer, and he's a co-founder of Krebs Stamos Group, he was quoted by saying, in the Bitcoin era, laundering money is something that any nerd can do. You don't need a big organized crime apparatus anymore. Kind of went on from there. But we're going to have to work together, like you were saying. Every country, every legitimate country, all the big, the G7s, the G15s, all the countries that want to get involved in this and play along are going to have to play along.
Right. And so the idea of outlawing payments to ransomware is something we've talked about before in this show. It's an idea which is kind of beginning to gain a little bit of steam. And it's really, you know, one of the biggest tools that we have, because if you keep just sitting here trying to play whack-a-mole with these ransomware companies, You know, as soon as you strike down Darkseid, Darkseid 2 is going to pop up right next door with the same group of people. And so, you know, you're really going to need some sort of large-scale collective change like this if we're actually going to beat this problem.
Now, one thing that did happen because of the FBI getting this money back is Bitcoin took a huge hit in the overall value of their currency. A 9% dip because of this. Their Bitcoin, which was trading somewhere around $60,000 a Bitcoin in April, as of Tuesday, they were down to $32,000. That's a huge, that's almost a 50% drop just in 6 weeks' time. And I mean, you had a $7,000 drop because the FBI was able to get the money back from these ransomware people through Bitcoin.
And that one's actually kind of strange to me. I would assume that you would go in the other direction because the FBI didn't break Bitcoin. Bitcoin is still just as secure. The FBI didn't find some magic formula to go through the encryption. They just found the people on the other side. And so in my opinion, my estimation is that as Bitcoin becomes more reliable, as it becomes more trustworthy, as corporations start feeling comfortable using it as a currency, the value should go up. And so the fact that the FBI can say, hey, look, we're able to stamp out some of the illegitimate uses of this, that should increase the value, in my opinion. But clearly I'm reading this wrong, including a lot of people who use Bitcoin are all read it differently than I do. And so that's a really interesting change in what's happening here.
I would imagine a lot of businesses right now are looking at Bitcoins going, wow, in 6 weeks' time, you've had almost a 50% drop in your value. How can we work with a fluctuating value, an arbitrary value, and feel comfortable with it? And so that I understand why so many people got scared and they pulled out, they sold out, got away from it, kind of thing.
Well, especially because back in November, it was back at about this $30,000 mark. And so to be in 6 months to go from $30,000 up to 60 back to 30, yeah, I totally get why core companies don't like the risk of potentially doubling or halving your money on the whims of Elon Musk and cyber criminals. They want something much more stable. And so I totally get why it's hesitant. People don't want to jump in with 2 feet yet.
Even with the Elon Musk and being on Saturday Night Live and you know, promoting Dogecoin and all of any one of the cryptocurrencies, I'm not a big believer in it yet. Is it going to be a long term thing? Yes, I think long term it will. I think it's still got 10 more years at least before it becomes close to even just mainstream. It's too
volatile,
way too volatile. And so until there's some kind of stabilization, I think it's just going to be a fringe thing for a very, very long time.
I agree. So we said we're going to talk about the FBI and what they're doing. They also organized and pulled off a really big criminal bust this week. And they were able to bring down 800 people in 16 different countries with this new thing they pulled off.
This is amazing. The FBI, they were working with us, the Australian Federal Police and a whole lot of different law enforcement agencies around the globe to get 800 people. They sent out about 12,000 cell phones to be sold on the black market. And what happened with these phones is that the FBI had put in a special little something-something in behind a calculator app So nobody went in and looked at the calculator app to see what was there. It's a calculator app. But this calculator app was reading everything and calling home to the FBI with all these messages, including some 27 million encrypted messages that went back to the FBI. Hello, boys and girls. We're the FBI, and we'd like to talk to you about some of your messages.
Yeah, this was so successful. Users trusted the device's security so much that they often laid out all of their legal plans, not even in code, but just in plain language. Hey, show up at this place at this point in time. We're going to kill that guy. And, you know, whenever you have someone that dead to rights, that's incredible.
Yeah, they took down some group, ANOM, group of bad guys, shall we say. They were, Europol was one of the ones that went after those folks. And, I mean, they had this, just, that's just a brilliant plan. Because everyone knows, just get a burner phone off the black web. It's safe. Nobody's trusting. You know, don't go buy the phone directly from the iPhone store. Buy it off the dark web. Well, guess what? It wasn't quite as nice of a place to buy things.
Yeah, 300 different criminal syndicates in over 100 different countries. That's more than half the countries on the planet. And that these different gangs are reaching into. And the FBI, along with, you know, a lot of international cooperation, has brought them down. And that is incredible. And this goes to the idea that we were talking about earlier, that this is not something the U.S. can do alone. If we're going to go after these large-scale international criminals, we're going to have to work together with our allies in order to make the world a safer place.
Over a several-day period, they went over through 16 countries. They searched 700 houses, made more than 800 arrests, seized 8 tons of cocaine, 22 tons of cannabis, 2 tons of synthetic drugs, 6 tons of synthetic precursor drugs, 250 firearms, 55 luxury vehicles, and $48 million worth of worldwide currencies and cryptocurrencies. That's a major haul. Somebody's getting a promotion over this.
Oh, yeah. And they're not even done yet. Countless spinoff operations will also be carried out in the weeks to come. They got so deep in, they can now hear everything. They have record lists. They have labels. There are people who are going to be scared for a long time. And
go ahead and run and hide. Oh, by the way, you've been telling us where your safe house is for a long time. So we'll meet you there.
Yeah. This is cool. This is whenever the FBI is doing the right thing. This is them making sure that we are making the world a safer place. Because these were bad people who were selling drugs, who were running crime gangs, and we are glad to have them off the streets of America, off the streets of Australia, Europe, France, you know, China, everywhere. They're just no longer there.
So this whole thing tied back to a 2018 arrest of Phantom Secure CEO Vincent Ramos. He was somebody who had been selling encrypted phones to criminals all over the world. Well, he basically started working with the FBI, and he started selling these phones that the FBI had doctored, shall we say. And these phones went everywhere, and it's just brilliant. I think this is how technology really, really plays so very well.
Yeah. And my guess is that guy who started working with the FBI did so with some suggestions. The FBI said, oh, it would be so nice for us and so nice for you and your prison sentence if you all of a sudden started cooperating.
And this guy probably has a new name and a new look and a new address. He's gone underground, shall we say.
Absolutely. So we hope you enjoyed our conversation, and we want to thank we want to thank General Informatics for bringing you this conversation. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make their clients even more successful through the best uses of technology. From the beginning, they have maintained their commitment to meeting the growing needs of their clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 60-plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Their managed services team can run your digital infrastructure or support your team in an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become such a proven formula, so proven that 98% of their clients continue to do business year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been the strategic support to their clients' growth. Today, GI has a record number of clients as the fastest growing company in the Inc. 500-5000 list. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit them on the web at www.geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we're here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and the show will then rerun Sundays at 4. If you missed any part of our show or would like to hear this or any previous episodes, check out our podcast available on every platform out there where you can get your podcast, including TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Deezer, Player FM, and Podcast Chaser. Be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified every time an episode is posted. And if you like our show, if you have some suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and we're on Facebook. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. Or you can text us at 225-255-0431. And when you're on Twitter, give us a thumbs up, follow us on Twitter, and then like us on Facebook. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.